Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to Revelation 19, verse 6. That's a good place to go. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Praise God. Revelation 19, verse 6. Are you there? Revelation 19, 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. So the bride has made herself ready. The bride getting ready is a big deal, isn't it? You know, all the Hallmark movies where they're in there getting ready, and then all the weddings you've been to where you get to go in with the bride, or you were the bride, or whatever, everyone, you know, the bride. It's a big deal. They're getting ready. Well, this verse is actually talking about Jesus and the church. And the last few chapters of Revelation talk about the bride of the Lamb, or the Lamb's wife. And chapter 18 is about the fall of the world system. Whoop, whoop. And chapter 19 is about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I'm going to read verse 8 in 19 there, so if you want to look there. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And as the Amish people would say, for sure and for certain. Amen. For sure and for certain. This is exactly what this is. Okay? So, and he was telling him to write it, if you notice that as well. Now, over in the book of Ephesians, we know that in chapter 5, there's a letter written about husbands and wives, okay? Just going to pick it up in verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish, so he might present to himself a glorious church. The Greek says an ecclesia in glory. That says to me, when compared to the scriptures in Revelation, that the church is dressed or adorned in glory. So the fine linens are the glory, is the glory, okay? You're dressed in fine linens. You're dressed in the glory. Now, in the Greek, the word present is an interesting word. It means that he assists or he walks alongside, kind of like the way the groom and the bride walk out of the wedding. Got it? He's presenting to himself, or he's assisting the bride. So he is actually coming back for us, and he's not coming back for a defeated, underground, beat-up church. He's coming back for a supernatural, successful, prosperous, healthy church. Prophecies say that in the end of days, that the glory that before Jesus returns in our midst, that the earth, that we are going to be filled with his glorious presence. And of course, we've experienced that. We've had a lot of glory. But I'm telling you, we're going to go way further into this realm. Amen. The presence of the Lord so strong that a maimed person could walk into the building and they don't even get prayed for. They walk into the building and limbs grow back. They're healed. I believe with all my heart that in this great awakening, that many of the veterans who gave up a limb are going to get their limbs back in Jesus' name. I'm putting my faith out for that. I believe that that is going to happen. Amen. Along with others. Translations would take place. People came close to us would be healed. The whole cities would be filled with the glory of God. This city is going to be so filled with the glory of God that when people drive into the city limits, things change. I believe that for San Antonio. I believe that for Dallas and Houston. I believe Texas is filled with the glory of God. I believe that Tulsa's going to have another time, a great awakening. I believe the church is rising up in the glory of God. Amen. So, you know, Deuteronomy said he brought us out, hence that he might bring us in. That's 6:23. So God brought them out of Egypt, but so he could bring them into the promised land. That's easy for us, right? We know that. Well, aren't you glad that you've been brought out of hell? Amen. You've been brought out of sin. But you're not just saved. You were brought out of something to be brought into something. You just don't have what they call fire insurance.
Right.
Amen. He brought us out that he would bring us in. He has a plan. He has a heavenly plan, a glory realm plan for us, a plan for our future. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 1:10 talks about the plan. Talks about God, Jesus gathering together everything in the anointing. Gathering together. We see that right now. That's happening. Ephesians 5:27, of course, was a scripture I read earlier that he would present himself a glorious church. And then Numbers 14:21 says, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Amen. The glory of the Lord. So what I'm telling you, this is not new to you. But I need to say this again at this time in our lives, that before we leave here, before Jesus returns, he comes to get us in his glory. The glory is coming into the earth. It will fill this earth up like someone fills up a swimming pool. And it's going to come two ways. I learned this from Sister Lynn Hammond a long time ago. It's going to come up out of you, and it's going to come down from heaven. And I believe that's the former and the latter rain. He'll pour it out every way he can. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We could talk more about that at another time. But you know what the glory is? It's heavy. It's the heavy, weighty presence. Amen. It's God's goodness. We know that Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God said, okay, I'll let my goodness pass before you. So when a tangible force of God's goodness makes an appearance, it's called the glory of God. The glory will fill the earth. And like I said, two ways. And I believe with all of my heart that the reason why right now we're talking about the kingdom and the kingdom realm is to prepare us for what is about to take place. This realm that we are going to sit in, live in, breathe in, work in the presence of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, I want to say something to you. And just for a picture that I thought maybe might help just a few people. And so if you could just picture this, I want to say the anointing is in us and it comes up on us because of Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Now, try this on. I think this will help you. But the glory is a place. Come down.
All right.
Yes. Am I right?
All
right? It's a place come down. It's a realm. Yeah. It's this kingdom realm we're talking about. And you know, we're downloading all these things from the kingdom and they're coming into our spirit, but you're literally going to experience outside, out here, in here, but out here as well, this realm. Like they did at Azusa Street, like they did when you go back and look at all the awakenings that you're all familiar with that we've talked about for years. This realm, this place come down, and it doesn't even require for you to lay hands on someone. When the realm comes, things happen.
Amen.
You just live in it, and people are healed and delivered and blessed because of the realm that their lives change. Their whole lives change. I'm just talking to you about the glory to come. Now, we've had glory here. We've seen the glory. We've seen angels. We had a man see Jesus in here. That's all wonderful. But I'm telling you, there's a glory to come. And, you know, I've been in places, Sister Brim's meeting some where we've seen the glory of God. We've seen an atmosphere here before, but I'm telling you, there's so much more. There's so much more. And we are breaking into those places. Amen. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is kind of like pedestrian. Mm-hmm. But the glory realm is kinetic.
Yeah.
You're just in, like you're just breathing in.
Yeah.
You're just breathing him in. You've been in this a lot. And it's just tangible. I just want you to be believing God for more manifestation. So that we can be a bless me club. Well, we get blessed all the time around here. Everybody gets healed. Everybody gets blessed. Everything's good. Everybody's coming up. But we have a world to bless. We have a world to help. Amen. So I was talking to the Lord. I was alone for a while, a few days. And so I was I always talk to the Lord, everywhere. But I had a little bit more time, and I was asking the Lord, now, what do you, I just want to be available to you, Lord. What is it that you want to say to me about this? What would you want me to do? What's my part in this time? And he said something real interesting to me. In fact, he asked me a question. And he said, well, what is my glory? Well, I felt like Billy then. Thank God I knew the answer, you know. And I said, well, it's the heavy, weighty manifestation of your goodness. It's your presence. It's, you know, said what I just said to you a few minutes ago. And he actually said, yes. But he said this to me. He says, yes, it's heavy. And I went, emphasis on heavy. And then he said, what do you do to prepare to deal with heavy? And I said, well, you have to be strong, so you have to get strong. You have to get strong, get help, or have something that helps you lift, or someone that helps you lift. That's what you have to do, isn't that right? And you have to be real stable in a heavy situation. You have to become stable in a heavy situation. Amen? So he said, yes, that's right. And he said, look at Moses. I'm going to show you how to be steady, how to have some lift, what to work out on, how to be strong enough in these times of glory. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So he told me to look at Moses. And so I looked, of course, the first place I ran to was Exodus 33:18. Please show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. And the Lord said this to me. He said, notice he was comfortable asking that. I mean, he was respectful, but he was comfortable. Why was he so comfortable, and what is he doing? Well, if you go back and you look at the relationship between God and Moses, you're going to find they were already close. Okay? Remember when Moses said, you know, who am I? Who am I that you're going to send me? I mean, I can't even hardly talk. You remember that? And God kind of ignored him and said something to him, and it was this. Say that you're the one that God is with. Well, you're the one that God is with. That's who you are. I'm the one that God is with. That ought to just drain all the pain out of everything. You have to go, well, I'm such and such PhD, WXYZ, I've got this and that, and I do this, here's all my accolades. No, I'm the one that, I mean, praise the Lord if that blesses you, but what blesses me is I'm the one that God is with. See that? I'm the one that God is with. That's all I have to know. Well, who are you? What are you doing here? Well, I'm the one that God is with. He sent me here. Amen. Now, all you have to do then is back up in those scriptures right there, and you can see how to prepare for the heavy manifestation. Moses had already experienced some things. When he asked to see the glory, he was looking for a higher revelation. He, you know, God said this to them when he was going to send them out. He said, y'all go on. You're going to go to the promised land, and I'll send some angels with you, and I'll help out. And because, I don't know if I want to be right there in the midst of you, because this is a carnal group, and, you know, I might zap them. And I don't think he was saying, man, I'm liable to take them out if I get mad enough. That's not what he's saying. It's that light doesn't mix with darkness. And so, as Sister Brim says, which she's getting quoted a lot, but it's all about the glory, right? She knows about that. She said that it's like a bug hitting the mosquito light, you know. Yeah. Light and darkness don't mix. So I felt like that was what God was really saying to Moses. He's saying, yeah, I don't know. But then Moses comes back, remember, and he says this. I'll read this. This is 33:11. He says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray that if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way. See all the keys here? That I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Now, that's an interesting way to talk to God, but if you saw a friend, and you saw, show me your way, and you saw these different things that he's saying here to you, I know you said you know me by name. Well, God, doesn't God everybody know everybody's name? Maybe not exactly like you think. Some people stand out. Those that are friends.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, then he comes back, and this is God, verse 14. He says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So he's like, okay, I'm going with y'all. I'll be right there. And then he said, if your presence does not go with us, don't take us. For how then, this is really good right here, how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Isn't that good? What a conversation. See, let me tell you what's between God and Moses. Friendship and fellowship. Say it. Friendship and fellowship. Tell two people that. All right. And so we see friendship and fellowship. We see that... when there's friendship and fellowship, there's presence and favor. Now you can just see that in your own life. And this presence and favor said yes to a heavier presence and favor. Because first it's, are you going with us? Because we need you to be right here. And you know me. We know each other, okay. And then the next thing, yes, I'll go, yes, find favor. And then what? Let me just step in here a little more. Lord, I beseech you, show me thy glory. Now, that has to be quite a relationship, because I know people on earth that once they get the first favor, they're not going to tempt that person for the next one. Like, I already asked them for this. I don't know if I can ask them for anything else. But you better get over that, particularly with Papa. Because Father God is ready. He's willing. He is able. And He wants to bless you. And He wants His presence with you. And He wants to show you favor. We had a favor anointing in here Wednesday night. Boy, it was something. Thank you, Jesus. It was quite powerful, quite good. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what happened here in these conversations is it opened a door. You with me? You walking with me? For goodness. And we all know that heavy, weighty goodness is glory. And we know that there's nothing better than goodness. According to the sages, according to the word good is good. So, how to allow Jesus to dress you in glory then? That's what we're talking about, how to. So the first thing we would say is friendship and fellowship will bring presence and favor. Presence and favor will bring glory heavy with everything good. So it's going to go back to something way different than a lot of people thought. Well, if I just work real hard and I be real good and I don't make any mistakes and I make sure I'm really holy and I get really perfect. Interesting, this said friendship and fellowship. Friendship and fellowship. Praise the Lord. Are y'all with me? Moses was a friend of God. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as he speaks to a what? That's a scripture. A friend. So it was familiar. It was confident. It was personal. It was not a vision or a dream. They talked at the door of the tabernacle. He goes to the tabernacle every day to talk to God, and everybody runs out and stands at their tent door. Except for Joshua. Joshua just stayed there. He's going to get everything he could. That's the person I would want to be. Amen. Going to get. I'm going on. I'm going to get whatever it is that I need to get. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, mouth to ear. That's what face to face is. There. It's about communion. And did you, I mentioned this to you a minute ago, verse 13 said, show me your way. Show me your way. That's basically what I was asking the Lord. See, show me your way. How do we do this? How do I move over? How do I make ready? How do I say and do everything I need to do to make sure that we do everything we need to do in God's glory? And the first thing for every one of us is friendship and fellowship with God Almighty. Amen. Now let's just take a magnifying glass as we go down here through the last few minutes. And let's just talk about this just a little bit more, about this fellowship and friendship. Here's a truth about you. You can be a friend of God. You are a son of God. Mm-hmm. You know, you were your mother's child, whether you liked her or not. You were your father's child, whether you liked him or not. It's good if you had a good mama or a good daddy, but you got a good father, and he is your father. A lot of people don't really know Father. They don't. But you can get in that relationship with him and you'll know him. He has a lot to say. And of course, you know, well, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit connects us. Well, you know, just kind of, can you just move through that a little bit and realize that they're three in one, and
yes,
that you're talking to Him?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, so in the book of Ephesians, Paul says something really interesting. I think I better read it to you at 2:22. Ephesians 2:22. In fact, let me back up just a little bit. I'm going to back up to 19. It says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together as an habitation of God through the Spirit." You are literally built in to this temple. You're a part of it. You're a part of it. No, you're not just added and stuck in. It's not like what's the Jenga thing or something where you can just pull one out. Yeah, no, no, you're built into it. They used a nail gun on you. You're in there. Well, you know, praise the Lord. Maybe not exactly. But you're a part of it, and you can't come off. You're cemented in there. Okay. That might be safer to say. Now, so you are that, you're this dwelling place. Now walk with me, okay? So you're the temple of God. Well, who is God? What is God? God is love. God is love. And so when you walk down through this, what you're going to see is that in order to fulfill your destiny in this realm, you need to be rooted and grounded in love. In your fellowship, in your friendship, that's what we're talking about. Put a magnifying glass on fellowship and friendship, you get rooted in love. And what you have to do, being rooted in love, is not just about, well, I need to love everybody. I'm trying to love everybody. Stop it. It's about how much He loves you first. And then His love is shed abroad in your heart. How much does God love you? You're going to find out through fellowship and friendship. So when you look down closely at this, you're going to find out. And the scripture says, the apostle Paul was praying. He said, "For this cause I pray." And one of the things he prayed is that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. You get rooted and grounded in the love of the Father, rooted and grounded in Hesed, rooted and grounded in grace, rooted and grounded in all these things that He is. He is love. And when you begin to look at that, you find out that perfect love casts out fear. Not you being perfect in love. His perfect love casts fear out of you. And then when the enemy comes along, you will be like him, the scripture says. Okay, you can read that yourself. I was just talking about over there about fear can leave you. I don't have time to go teach on that right now. But there's no fear in love. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You don't want to contaminate your faith with fear. So you get rooted and grounded. You have this fellowship. You have this friendship. You get a word from Him out of the scripture, and you pay attention. I've been on one scripture all week from Jeremiah. I've quoted it about 7 times a day. It's a scripture that says, "Put away your tears and your crying, because your work is about to be blessed and rewarded, and your children are coming back to their borders." Amen. And so I'm staying on that. All the children out there that are spiritually our children, out of the different groups that we've ministered to, they're going to come back to their borders in God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because this is the great awakening. Now, and they're coming back because God said so, most of all. So the first step then in preparing for the glory is to be rooted and grounded in love, because the fear is going to leave you. You have the strong knowledge of God loving you, and faith works by love. Church, One of the fundamentals of faith, another fundamental of faith, is that your faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. Mm-mm. The scriptures are locked together there. In, you know what I'm talking about, Mark 11. They're locked together there. I just heard Brother Copeland preach this last night, so I'm on it. But it's just so true. So you have to forgive, forgive. And you do that by a grace that's on the inside of you, because he loved you, you can love. That love, when you forgive, the love of God is being passed on. You realize that you've been as guilty as everybody else, and you just give on up and just say, God, you take, that's between you and them. I'm free from that, and they're not, what they did is not going to torment me. I'm not going to let them run my life.
Right.
Unforgiveness is, you know, what we always say. It's like taking poison and hoping somebody else will die. It just doesn't work. So forgiveness is included in that. Isn't that good? So your faith will be strong. And then charity, of course, they use that word in King James. It's a strong desire to give. So I just encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal God's love to you more and more and more. And I'm telling you, it's friendship and fellowship. You know, my daddy was my daddy, but the fun times were when we were fishing together or doing stuff together. I can clearly remember the BB gun, and they taught us how to go through a fence and how to carry. I was a little bitty kid, and man, dad's teach. It was that friendship and that fellowship of going with dad. We're going to do this, you know, and, just, you know, before, you guys don't know this, but when I was little, you didn't get in the car seat. You stood up in the front seat and put your arm around daddy. And you held on in the Hudson. Am I right? Man, that was friendship and fellowship all the way to the ice house. Remember ice houses? Wasn't a convenience store. It was an ice house. And you go up there and get the ice cream and the big red. That was friendship and fellowship. And I know a lot of my memories are about sugar, but praise the Lord. But and there was so, I could just say so many things. My papa, my grandfather, oh my goodness, he'd take us fishing down in Lake McQueenie. Me and my cousin Ricky. And we'd be down there and he'd be, shh. Scaring the fish. We'd be dead midnight. We're down there running up and down the bank, catching mayflies and making stuff to fish out there. And man, would get so mad at us. But we went with Papa. We were in that altar. We were having fellowship with Papa. It was so wonderful. Well, that's what you have with your Papa. And he'll say things to you and show you how much he loves you and give you a God wink by pulling your frog back up that you lost. Praise the Lord. So I just want to encourage you in that friendship, fellowship. And the second thing, there's only 92 of these, so we should get finished pretty early. Here's actually just three. The second thing, second step, is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Worshiping God. We just talked about that, so I'm not going to go too far over that. But we just talked about worshiping God. If you're like, I don't even know how to worship God, just start calling out his names. Go look up his names, and every name is kind of like a friendship and a fellowship thing. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. And you can go down the line. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Jehovah Nisi, my banner. Jehovah Sitkanu, my righteousness. I think that's that one. Is it? And so, I mean, you can go Shammah, Mekadesh, just all sorts of names. My Elohim, my creator, El Shaddai, more than enough. If you just worship him and say those things, you're saying so much. There's such a broad flow that comes with that. Just worship God for who he is. Remember the song? Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. And in the song, she sings. She sings those names. I mean, you can at least do that. Put the song on. You can probably find it on you. I mean, that just worship God. And as you worship God, you go into that realm. You'll go into that realm. And we'll all go into that realm together. That's why the praise and worship team is wanting you to participate. Not stand here with your hands in your pockets and go, well, this is a song service. Pastor's going to get up and preach in a minute. No, the worship could go on through the whole service if God intends for it to. They can, but it's about worshiping God. We're not doing it. I've actually heard of people that say, well, we're going to come right after the worship. I'm like, that's the church part. Come on, that's what we're doing. You're going to show up after the worship?
That's the fellowship and the friendship.
That's right. Deb just said that's the fellowship and the friendship part. Isn't that right? Amen. So worship God. Take care. You know the cliff story, and I'm not going to tell it. But you know, if you'll worship God in your house, if you'll worship God in your garden, if you'll worship God in your car, I've heard of all kinds of, and I've had it happen myself, where the glory of God will fill the car. All right, I'm just going to tell you something. I haven't even told Deb this yet. So I was walking around the cabin on our property, and when I walked around and looked into the backyard, the glory of the Lord was back there. Just showed up right in my face, and I was like, and I just stood there. Thank you, Jesus, and just fellowshipped with the Lord. That's a special place to him right there. It's actually my favorite place on the property. I could just see that heavy, weighty cloud sitting there. Now, that's happened at in that cabin. The thick cloud has come into that cabin before. The thick cloud has come into our house before. Sometimes in here it looks like it's raining. He's showing up. He's showing off. He's coming in to bless you. He's coming in to fellowship with you. Amen. He's coming in a heavy way. And then the third step to prepare for this glory would be to get rid of the parasite drag. Forgive the past. Just go on. Just forgive the past. Just move away from it. When that thing that irritates you from someone in the past, forgive it. Or what you did. Forgive yourself and forgive other people and go on. Every time it tries to come to you, just say, nope, that's the past. I'm going on with the future. That's all God's business. It's not mine. And by the way, everything you've done has been blotted out. The Bible says over in Isaiah that he gives you a blank slate and you need to tell him who you are. Brother Copeland preached that last night. He didn't even go into it, but I've heard it so much I knew it. He said, God said, Kenneth, forget about your past. Now you have a blank slate. If you go, I believe it's Isaiah 9, if you go over there and read, or 1:9, it's somewhere over there. He says, I have blotted out your transgressions, and now I'm going to give you this place. You tell me who you are. Well, who are you? And have you told him during your fellowship and friendship time? Have you told him who you are? I am your faithful daughter who will do anything you ask me to do. If I can clearly understand it, I will do it, Lord. That's what I say to him. And I'm rich, and I'm blessed, and I'm healthy, and I have favor. And whatever it is you want to say. I'm rich enough to help other people. I'm rich enough to give to the gospel.
Yes.
Boy, if you say that, he'll take you up on it. Thank you, Jesus. So what you're going to do is you're going to forget your past. And then let's just talk about your relationship in these last few minutes, your relationships. You're going to have to decide whether you're going to fly with the eagles or peck in the chicken yard. People are like elevators. They're either going to take you up or take you down. So you're going to have to run with people. Thank God you're in a great tribe. You have a great tribe of people that you're connected to. Great. But you're going to have to decide who your friends are. You're going to have to decide who they are. Are they taking you up or taking you down? The hardest time, actually, there's a few people in here. High school's probably the hardest time in that. I know you realize that. It's the hardest time when you're going to decide whether people that you're only going to be around for 4 years are going to affect the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. but on into all of our ages. It's so important. People can really drag you down, and it doesn't mean you don't love people. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking about the way that you fellowship with people. Amen. And then this last thing, stop focusing on the facts and focus on the truth. There are all sorts of facts. Well, this isn't working. That isn't working. This is this. This is that. How am I going to get this? How am I going to do that? What's going to happen? How am I going to get through this? Well, this wasn't right. Well, that wasn't right. Well, what about the truths? The truth is God loves you. The truth is God has prepared everything for you. The truth is that it belongs to you. The truth is that you can have, get a heavenly download of whatever it is you need from God. That's the truth. The truth is that you're healed. The truth is that you have peace. The truth is that you have the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit working in your life. Those are the things that the truth is. The truth is that you're in an auditorium here full of people that actually love you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's some places where they're fighting over the pews. She sat in my pew this week. She's got to go. No. Yeah, help us, Lord. Stick with the truth, not the facts. They can change so very quickly. So friendship, fellowship with love himself, worship him in spirit and truth. Dump the parasite drag. These are the big ways to become a heavy lifter. You're going to be able to flow and move in the glory of God without any hindrances. In your spirit, there's nothing between you and the Savior. Nothing. There's nothing. It's as clear as it can be. Sometimes we just got to clean that soul out. Get that stuff out of the way. We just got to say, no, you're not. You're not. This is going to be about me and him. Amen.